Welcome to Executive Tools. Measuring your organization's one-on-ones. Part one, here we go. This cast answers these questions. How can I tell if the managers who report to me are rolling out one-on-ones? How can I measure whether one-on-ones are being done? How can I reinforce one-on-ones in my organization? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you enjoy our guidance about the management trinity, getting to know your people, talking about performance, asking for more, pushing work down, and our tools are helpful, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The ideal way to learn about implementing them is to come to one of our effective manager conferences. One day, we cover all of the major topics. You practice feedback, you practice coaching, you practice delegation. I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, wow, I thought I understood the tools. And then when I had to practice, I realized I've taken it to another level. Come to the website, check out our conference schedule, see us all over the U.S. and in Europe and in Asia and in Australia. See you there.
All right, Mark, I'm a director. I got managers working for me. I've been doing one-on-ones for a year or so. And as you might expect, it's going well. It works. Things are improving. My relationships with my directs are improving, you know? And I really think my subordinate manager should be doing one-on-ones with their directs.
You think? Work for me.
I believe it. I really think they should.
Yeah, it's probably like budgets and finance processes and all the other processes that work. Yeah.
Exactly. But, how do I get them to do it?
Yeah, a friend of yours probably tried it and he says, nah, none of my guys were going to do it. Wow. Really? You let them not do it when it works so well for you? And they even admit on their end that they're good to have with you, but no, they're not going to do it because they're not a micromanager.
Well, management's different, right? It's kind of personality driven.
Yeah.
And it's all right. We'll stop. We can go on forever.
Okay,
obviously, you guys were kind of joking around.
Yeah, it's one thing as a director to start doing one-on-ones with your subordinate managers. It is. But getting them to do it with their directs is surprisingly hard. But it's still worth it, and it's not micromanaging. And it's not hard once you know what to do, and here's what to do. Five steps. First, make one-on-ones mandatory. Now, that's an unusual thing to say in modern times, but we have some examples that'll help you with that.
Mind blown.
Yes, exactly. Next, ask every week, after you've asked them to start doing them, how many have you done? Don't worry about any one week. Okay. Track the trends of what you're seeing. If somebody has a bad week, it's okay. And after 8 to 12 weeks, ask for notes, because part of one-on-ones is taking notes. And then last step, after 16 weeks, after they've been doing one-on-ones for 4 months, schedule a skip level meeting. And you're going to meet with your skips and find out how the one-on-ones are going.
Jen, well, I'm glad you put the first point, making one-on-ones mandatory. I'm glad you had it as your first point versus your last point, because if it was the last point we're going to talk about, nobody would have listened. They would have been all white noise until we got to that. So,
exactly.
All right. So convince me that we can actually make one-on-ones mandatory.
Yeah, we do. We recommend them. You make them mandatory. And it seems weird to admit it. I mean, I've been doing this too long, so I have some academic creep, but that may be one of the most controversial things we've ever recommended. I think there are lots of people listening right now that say, oh, I couldn't do that, or no, that won't work, or no, you can't. And by the way, all three of those are different. I couldn't, that won't work, or no, I can't. For some reason, when it comes to management, of which there are a number of areas, it is for a director, for a senior director, for any very, very, very senior executive, the management of people is considered in the realm of personality. This is, of course, wrong and stupid. And therefore, you can't mandate some of the things that your subordinate managers do. And what's weird about that is, for some reason, questioning the mandatory nature of some managerial behaviors would be heresy. Everybody understands those things are mandatory. While then making other managerial behaviors like one-on-ones similarly mandatory is like crazy or weird, or again, this stupid idea of micromanaging. I have a couple of examples. I may have used these before, but they tend to get people's attention when we do our effective manager conference. And folks, if you're if you're struggling as a manager, or if you don't know how to become a better manager because you don't know the underlying principles and so on, we encourage you to come to the Effective Manager Conference. We not only talk to you about what your key deliverables are, we talk to you about what the behaviors are and then how to do those behaviors. Think about badges that many companies, it used to be only large companies, now it's even tiny companies if they're in technological areas where there's some security issues or confidentiality issues. Your company issues badges to its employees for security, for access control, so on. Director of yours comes to you one day and sits down and says, "Hey, boss, you got a minute?" You're like, "Sure, what's up?" He says, "You know these employee badges we all wear? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not really into badges, you know? They're not my thing. You know, it affects my aura." Or he says, "You know, it clashes with my outfit." Yeah, there's no place to put it. So I just want to let you know I'm not into it, so I'm not going to wear it. So I'll need you, boss, to go ahead and arrange for me to have whatever access I need to have whenever and wherever I need to have it going forward. So just to let you know, thanks. And he drops his badge on your desk. It's like,
happens every day.
Dude. Yeah, dude. If you put your badge in your desk, it's almost like the badge and gun thing that always happens in cop movies, right? You would say no. And what's more, you probably ask the person if they had lost their mind. Badges are mandatory. They're not negotiable. They're not affected by people's personal preferences. Why? Because the organization believes the badges are highly effective. Okay? They don't have to hire a security guard to guard the door. There are all kinds of reasons. But look, take a different one. And this one's near and dear to my heart because I remember a conversation similar to this a number of years ago when the world went from paper receipts to online expense accounting. Suppose your company changed over from paper expense receipts to online app-driven receipts. You'd be crazy not to in the modern world, okay? It's smart. It's way easier for accounting. It's faster. One of your directs comes in one day and says, "Hey, you know, I've been here a long time. I'm used to the paper system. So, boss, I'm just letting you know, when I travel, what I'm going to do is just bring you a wad of paper receipts, you know, probably with Mexican food stains all over them. I'll just drop them on your desk, and I'll tell you how much cash I need to make us even." And again, yeah. You'd think, have they lost their mind? You'd say no. You wouldn't have to think twice. The expense accounting system is a given. Okay, these are mandatory things that relate to management. These are things that the management of the organization has said are not negotiable. They're mandatory. So why then do we think twice about making some of our systems, as a director now, I'm thinking about a director having managers reporting to him or her. Why do we think twice about making some of what we do mandatory versus the company's mandatory systems? Now, look, the first thing I think most people would say, and I think it's a fair pushback, is, you know, the CEO can do that, but I can't do that. In other words, people don't understand where their role power comes from.
Yeah, they have way more power than they think, right?
Yeah, they do. Mainly because if they took away their bias and said, "Oh, I understand where my role power comes from," suddenly they would start looking at things differently and realize that some things for them need to be mandatory. In fact, I would be willing to bet that one of the biggest frustrations of managers is, you know, they ask their people to do something. They didn't make it mandatory. It's a completely reasonable thing. A child would know this is a reasonable thing. And the direct resists. The direct says, "Well, hey, thanks, but I'm really busy." And we'll talk more about this. Manager Tools is not a role power recommending place. We don't do that very often. We build everything based on relationships, based on trust. That's the big lever as a manager. But just because we do that doesn't mean you don't have role power.
Or there's not appropriate times to use it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you, managers think, "Oh, my guy's not doing that." And then for some reason, because of how we've grown into management and so on, managers then spend a bunch of time wondering what they did wrong. And then thinking, "How am I to get this thing done?" And then asking somebody else to do it. And suddenly you've got a person who avoids a lot of stuff, and you've got one of your best people getting burned out because the manager didn't know, "No, I'm sorry. No, you really do need to do that. I love you, man, but hey, you got to do it." Now, look, another reason including not understanding how much role power we have, is because we fear our direct complaining to HR. And actually, it's actually not that easy, because I know a lot of old school managers who are a little bit older, maybe Mike and I's age, let's say, do not fear their directs going to HR. Or if they do, they don't fear what's really important about the direct going to HR, which is HR deciding the direct is right and coming to you and say, well, perhaps can you make an exception? I understand your direct's concerns. Let's make an accommodation. Oh, accommodations will drive you crazy as a manager. Or something like, are you sure this is necessary? Other managers aren't doing this thing that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm really sure. And by the way, you're not supposed to protect the employee. You're supposed to protect the company, HR. And right now, to them, I am the company. Look, again, we don't recommend using role power all that often. To make something mandatory is to use role power. Now, we're not in this cast going to describe. We'll do it in a future guidance. And doing this cast makes me want to do that. As soon as we finish, start writing the role power cast, which I've had outlined for years. We'll discuss the origin of role power in another cast. And we'll also discuss that managers can't compel people to do things, which you think, well, if you're making it mandatory, you can compel it. No, there's a difference between compelling and visiting consequences on people. And they're close. Often people get compelled by the threat of consequences, but there are situations where you can actually compel. You don't need consequences. But in this case, it'll be consequences when it comes to organizational life. And in fact, Mike, I believe right now that there are some people, some percentage of people who are listening, who are being turned off by this. What? Compelling? What? Mandatory? Yeah, what? No, role power? And what? Consequences? Yes, folks. Really, that's true. I've said it before. I'll say it 1,000 times. There are only 2 human emotions, love and fear. The primary motivating emotion in your home is love. The primary motivating emotion at your workplace is fear. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a fabulous company that does great things and serves society and enriches people's lives. You can do all those things in an environment that starts with fear, and that's based in part on role power and verticality. And there are companies in the world that have tried quite diligently and lately have gotten a lot of press for being flat companies. Well, we're going to be flat. You know, Google's famous for not having managers until they discovered Project Oxygen and one-on-ones and feedback and coaching and so on, and now they have managers. You're just not going to get a big organization that's going to be highly effective unless you have some verticality, unless you have some role power. And role power, whether you intend it to or not, engenders fear in your directs. That's where that fear bit comes from.
Well, I think that the problem is when you say consequences, people immediately think that what you mean is firing people. Right? There's lots of consequences.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah.
Short of firing somebody or chopping their head off.
Yes.
Right? A piece of professional feedback given with a smile on your face in a kind loving way is one of those consequences, folks. It's not, we're not talking about, you know, putting knives at people's backs.
That's the death penalty. We're not going to do that. And look, because effective managers, manager tools managers, focus more on authority than power, okay, power is the ability to compel or consequences, you don't have to use role power very often. But again, the part of the purpose of this cast is you don't have to use it very often, but when you need it, you should be willing to use it. And I'm going to say it, Mike, I know people are going to laugh at me. There was a millennial who wrote in, I don't know, a year or so ago when I put out some guidance and I mentioned a movie, a famous movie. I want to say it was Raiders of the Lost Ark or something. And the person wrote in and said, why should I listen to you? You mentioned a movie from 30 years ago, as if to indicate that, well, you know, you're old. It's like, you know, I'm not relevant. And I kind of laughed and said, no, I chose that movie because it's one of the top 10 grossing movies of all time. And that increases the chances there'll be popular recognition of the point in the movie. But I'm going to do it again. There's a great movie I really enjoy. It makes me think of my friends in Tasmania and Australia, Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, Kalgoorlie, called Quigley Down Under. And in it, an American, Tom Selleck, playing Quigley, goes to Australia. And he's famous for being a rifle marksman. And he's hired by an Australian. Unfortunately, the Australian hires him to kill Aborigines, which causes Tom Selleck to say, no, I'm not doing this. It's wrong. But in the movie, he tells Alan Rickman, who's the boss.
Which means the boss is a bad guy.
Exactly, Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman is very, this is like 100 years ago, and so he is showing Tom Selleck how good he is with a weapon, with a pistol. And he's saying, you know, I'm a good quick draw artist, and bam, bam, bam. And Tom Selleck, he says, you know, are you familiar with this? He says, yeah, Selleck says, holding his rifle at his side, I've never had much use for those things. And of course, Selleck is quite good with his rifle, so it doesn't matter. At the end of the movie, they take Selleck captive and take away his weapon. And Alan Rickman says, we're going to do a showdown. We're going to do a gunfight. And, of course, Alan Rickman's thinking, I'm going to beat him. And Tom Selleck sticks the pistol that Alan Rickman gives him in his belt. And they get ready to draw. And when they draw, it's like, bam, bam. And all of a sudden, Alan Rickman's on the ground. And Tom Selleck's okay. And he walks over to him. And Alan Rickman looks up at him as he's about to die. And yet another Alan Rickman death scene. And says, I thought you know, he's like with a funny look on his face. And Tom Selleck said, I said I never had much use for him. Didn't say I didn't know how to use them. This should be the Quigley Down Under cast. Guys, you don't have to use roll power, but you need to know you have it, and you need to know there are some things that it's worth using for, okay? And again, we want you to move in the direction of authority, trust. The more you build trust and trusting relationships through one-on-ones, the less you have to use your compliance-creating roll power. And effective managers create commitment by building trusting relationships. We want you to get commitment out of your directs, not compliance. But 5% of the time, maybe, driving compliance energy rather than getting commitment energy is a necessary tool in our toolbox. It just is. If it were never necessary, if you never had to use role power, it wouldn't exist. Okay, so sorry, little digression there, but after rolling out one-on-ones with your direct report managers, you've done it with them, insist that they start doing the same. It could be as simple as if Mike's my direct and we're having a staff meeting saying, hey, Mike, we've been doing one-on-ones for 4 months. You've told me a couple of times they're helping. It's now time for you to start doing them with your direct. It could be as simple as that. Think about it this way, guys. If your company didn't use budgets, but you did, and you got much better results than other managers who didn't use them, surely you'd insist on managers in your part of the organization creating their own budgets to support yours, right? It would just be natural.
Yeah, makes sense. That right.
You would do that. So look, in our guidance in Rolling Down the Trinity, which is our podcast about how to, the more detail about how to push the Trinity down to subordinate managers, we recommended telling your directs who are managers to start one-on-ones with their directs 4 months after you've started. They'll have experienced O3s from you, obviously on the receiving end. We're assuming you've briefed them here and you've had given them a chance to ask questions and so on. They know the purpose of one-on-ones and they know roughly the rollout process. They'll probably know enough to get started on their own, but even if they don't, there's some free podcasts they could listen to that would help them. One more thing. I know some of you are saying, well, what if my directs say no? Fair question. We're going to cover what to do if a direct manager of yours refuses role power guidance in a different cast, and we'll cover more than just them refusing to do one-on-ones.
That said, it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Right? So if you're worried about it, you're probably unnecessarily worrying.
It happens less often in the manager ranks, and the reason why is because managers know how it feels to have your direct say no. I think we just did a cast recently called the middleman test, where we say, if you would not visit this thing on your boss, whatever's happening to you, then don't tolerate it from your directs. Okay, that gets us to our second piece of guidance, which is, in my opinion, the heart of the cast. Ask every week all of your managers who are doing one-on-ones, how many of your one-on-ones did you do last week?
Yeah, and we're going long here, so we should probably...
We're going long, so we'll pick that up next week.
Yeah, I think this serves as a real good foundation for, and it addresses many of the concerns that I know many, particularly people who might be new to manager tools, might be thinking about the use of power and actually asking or demanding that their directs do anything relative to management.
I agree.
With that out of the way, next week should be a good one.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. Like Mark said, that's it for this week, and we'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.